gov.gov history. Mrs. Marilyn Gorman applies for Social Security benefits online before breakfast.
And got them. Pancakes, anyone?
Visit firstgov.gov today. It's government made easy.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Earlier today, reached the low to mid-70s. We'll head for 55 overnight. Remained very quiet with a few clouds by early tomorrow. Thursday afternoon, clouds and scattered thunderstorms, pretty much the fare of the afternoon. A few may be severe. We'll watch for large hail producers as we get up to 73 before all that commences. Overnight low, 57 into Friday, becomes 65 with an 80% chance of rain Friday afternoon.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on a beautiful Wednesday evening in Uptown Beckley. Is there such a thing as a bad evening in beautiful Uptown Beckley? I don't think so. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's Wednesday night, as usual. It is your prayer meeting edition of Head On.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right. We're going to have plenty to discuss on this every other Wednesday meeting. Prayer meeting. Plenty of places to go this evening. Not the least of which is, did I hear right on the ABC top of the hour news earlier today? Did I actually hear it described that part of the compromise, sometimes I hate that word, part of the compromise on the judicial filibuster that is being touted by my party is to let all but one of these judicial freaks that President Kiss-a-Guy has nominated get through. Did I hear that? 9 out of 10? I think I heard that. I really hope I didn't hear that. Because if I did hear that, then I got to wonder who's leading these negotiations. Who's among these centrists? Who's the leader? Appeasing Joe Lieberman? Damn. But here's the punchline. From what I can tell, my party is offering to let Priscilla Owen and Janice Rogers Brown through. Put them on the bench. Hey. Now, dig it. One of those freaks actually said America's senior citizens are, and these are her words, this is her word in particular, not mine. America's senior citizens are cannibalizing, that's a quote, their grandchildren. Why? Because they receive Social Security. Wow. Just wow. She said that, Janice Rogers Brown did, in a speech in August of 2000. Here's the actual quote. My grandparents' generation thought being on the government dole was disgraceful, a blight on the family's honor. She goes on, today's senior citizens blithely cannibalize their grandchildren because they have a right to get as much free stuff as the political system will permit them to extract. Today's senior citizens blithely cannibalize their grandchildren. This is a mighty sick woman. She said that. Do you get her meaning? Can you translate the Kool-Aid code? Never mind the Da Vinci code. This is the Brown code, and it's ugly. It's brown, all right, and it stinks under the nostrils of the Almighty, all righty. Get that. America's senior citizens who have paid all their lives into Social Security are cannibalizing their grandchildren. And because they're getting Social Security, they're on the dole. This is a woman that George W. Kissin Arab wants to put on the most important circuit court in the United States, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Do you understand, you decent people? I mean by that, you liberals, you progressives. Do you understand? This nasty woman climbed up the affirmative action ladder just like Clarence Slappy Thomas did. And just like Slappy, she's kicking at everyone beneath her for all she's worth. Get back, get down there, get down there. I got up here, and it's okay for me. Never dawned on her to think, no, no. And to a Republican like Janice Rogers Brown, receiving Social Security constitutes being on the dole. Expecting to be paid the money back that you paid in is on the dole to that nasty, vile woman. And my parties, the Democrats, my party is offering a compromise that'll seat her on the D.C. Circuit. Can somebody please get a brace of Neville Chamberlain bowler hats and umbrellas for these Democratic negotiators? 9 out of 10 nominees? Why not just give them all 10? If you're not going to fight, for God's sakes, let somebody in there who will. Give them all 10. The problem's solved. The filibuster's preserved for the next time that stinking cat killer Bill Frist wants to threaten Democrats. And everything's hunky-dory in the Senate. Do you understand who she's saying this cannibalizing business about? She says that our seniors in America are cannibalizing their grandchildren. Do you know who she said that about? Do the math. Think about it for a minute. Who is Janice Rogers Brown saying is cannibalizing America? She's saying that about the generation that won the Second World War. She is saying that about the generation that fought for civil rights for her. And they're cannibalizing America. This is your Republican Party. This is the thing that they want to put on the bench. Oh, Bob's being a racist. No, he is not being a racist. I would say this about a white person, a black person, a brown person, a green person, yellow person, red person, orange person. I would say these things about anyone who shows such manifest disrespect for the generation that made it possible for her to even open her mouth and breathe. Hear it again. Today's senior citizens blithely cannibalize their grandchildren. Today's senior citizens blithely cannibalize their grandchildren. What a hateful, what an odious metaphor. But I'm the mean one. That Bob Kincaid, he's just full of hate. He's a hater. He calls names. What do you call it, you rat-fink Republicans, when somebody sits there, somebody in a position of power, holding literally the scales of life and death over other human beings? What do you call it when they sit there and declare that the generation that made it possible for this generation to exist, my generation to exist. What do you call it when they sit there and call them cannibals? But I'm the name caller. Sunshine, all I'm doing is standing up and giving back as good as I get, and they're passing it out in buckets. But far more than the idea of this woman's hatefulness, and she is hateful. She is truly, unmitigatedly hateful. She is filled with hate for everyone who is less than her. But what worries me more is that my party is offering to put her on the bench if Bill the Cat Killer just won't be mean to them and keep saying those nasty things about them. Now, I don't know. It could be strategery. By offering them everything except one. It's not even Janice Rogers Brown and Priscilla Owen, the two most nasty nominees. They're going to be chucked aside. It's just one little insignificant whomever. Maybe by doing this, that my party is showing that it's extending the olive branch again and withdrawing yet again another bloody stump. I don't know. But I tell you this much. At some point, my party has got to learn to fight, or we will be done. And continuously drawing back that bloody stump is not learning how to fight, I promise you. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Where there. When
disaster strikes.
Where one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head On.
Welcome back. 18.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. The phone number round hereabouts is 252-6200. Outside the general dialing area, it's 800-620-620. 620-WWNR. That's 9967. You know that. Email goes to bob@headonradio.com. And, of course, you can listen live, especially around here when the power goes down, you can listen live on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. You can go through that portal there, too, to HeadOnRadio.com. I've got some merry little message boards there. You can jump into the forums and have a darn good time. Again, it's free. It's free speech that you can engage in and never cost you a nickel, because I'm just that kind of nice guy. To the phones, Jose is with us. Hey, Jose, you're Head On.
Bob.
How you doing?
I got through the day struggling.
Oh, well, you know, then we're ready for tomorrow.
Yeah. Got to get through the night.
That's right.
What's your topic of conversation?
This odious woman, this Janice Rogers Brown, Jose, that George Bush wants to put on the court. She says that older Americans who get Social Security are cannibalizing their grandchildren.
Well, they're taking all I got.
Well, I tell you what, I don't think much of a woman that says that about America's greatest generation. I just
people,
don't.
I've got kin people. It's Brown, but John Brown, he was a what? A Republican or a Baptist preacher?
Well, he was a murderer. I know that.
Well, what was his religion? You know?
No, offhand, I don't.
I don't know. All right, let's hammer Frank and Jesse James.
Yeah.
The notorious train robbers.
Yeah, the James brothers.
Was their daddy, what was his religion or politics?
No, I don't know. I do not.
Now, I've heard that their parents was Methodist.
Really?
All right. And see, they named him Jesse, and that's a biblical name, Hebrew. David's daddy was named Jesse.
That's correct.
David was redheaded or ruddy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't know what she was talking about, the Browns.
Well, she's a judge on the Supreme Court out in California, and they want to make her one of the most powerful judges in America to sit on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And she's just a wild-eyed radical who apparently doesn't think anything of working people. And she thinks that she even went so far, Jose, as to say that if somebody collects their Social Security, she calls that being on the dole. Now, last I checked, you couldn't get Social Security without you paid into it.
Well, it's a retirement, ain't it, Bob, too?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And it's for disabled people. Why would anybody? Well, it's people are getting, they don't care about the retarded. They don't care about the handicapped.
Nope.
And they say that.
And then they have the nerve to tell us that they're compassionate.
You know they're not.
By their fruits, you shall know them.
Ain't it?
Yeah, it's pure hypocrisy.
Right. So a judge, it says something like that, and she's a female, and all the people, it's 42 million people on Social Security now.
Something like that.
Well, it caused a depression. She'd cause a depression then.
Well, she would, and the thing is, and I don't like to play the race card, Jose, but she is also an African-American woman.
She is?
Yep, and so, when she talks about people receiving Social Security being on the dole, like I said earlier, those are the very same people that fought for her to have civil rights now. They're old now.
Well, your friend that's Jewish calls in, and he says when you get black American women, like the one that they just put in, you know, that y'all been witches.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all call them witches?
I don't think I did, but I know what you're talking about, Jose.
Well, a witch puts people to death, gives them poison, and so she'd want to put 42 million people that's receiving Social Security. Now, that was on a thing that I got from the post office, and that's maybe 2-3 years ago. It may be 52 million now.
Well, you know, there's different kinds of Social Security, Jose.
Yes.
When we talk about retirement Social Security, that's a separate issue from the stuff you get for disability or for birth defects or anything like that. But the idea that somebody has paid into Social Security all their life, and because they start collecting on it when they get to retirement age, this woman thinks they're on welfare, and they're not. It's not welfare.
Well, she's been misled.
No, she. I gotta beg to disagree with you, Jose. I think she's just plain hateful.
Well, then she's an ungodly person, then.
I tend to agree. You know, because everything that I was raised with tells me that, it sticks in my mind. If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me.
Amen.
And so.
Yeshua's got to straighten up things, Bob.
I know.
I believe he's copper, though. He was copper in color.
Dark skinned, but certainly not this ivory skinned, blonde haired, blue eyed guy in all the paintings in the, you know what I mean.
That's, what's his name? Alexander the Great was blonde headed, wasn't he?
Yeah. And, there are some arguments out there that a lot of the images of, Christ are, carryovers from paintings of Alexander.
Well, they could be.
Could very well.
Yeah. I don't think the, artist conception that Christendom, Jewish man, he used the word Christendom, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
False religion. They depict him with long hair and
kind of girly.
Huh?
Kind of girly. You know, sweet and effete and, wouldn't hurt a fly. That's not, I don't think so.
Joseph was a carpenter and he was a carpenter's son and he was a powerful man. Swing a hammer and make cabinets and
heave those boards around.
He wasn't no gay.
No, and he wasn't a wimp. You can't go hauling through the temple and overturning tables and whipping people with a cat of nine tails, and be some sort of shrinking violet, can you?
Well, that's true. And temples today are like Christendom's churches. If you'd come back, you'd turn all their 10% tables over and.
Well, I remember well what, who was it, Al Sharpton during the primary campaigns. He said if Jesus Christ returned today and saw, if Jesus Christ returned today, he would not be welcome in most of the white people's churches.
Amen.
I tend to agree. Well,
they would execute him on a torture stake again.
Sure.
Because,
absolutely.
They've got so far away from the Gospels Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah, well, you know, for a republic, for these right-wing religion industry people, Jose, and you know what I mean by that.
The worst.
Yeah, for these people...
Modern-day Pharisees.
Yeah, Christianity is a cheap excuse for extending their philosophies of avarice and greed. And it has nothing to do with spirituality, and it has nothing to do with the message of Yeshua.
Yes. Well, you take, see, is counterfeit Christians.
Just right.
Like we got counterfeit money.
Right.
And it's more of them, Antichrist, man of lawlessness,
and what does it
evil
say?
Slaves.
What does it say he's going to tell them? Be gone, ye wicked and accursed?
That's right. They're going off into destruction,
it's
Bob.
It's
hang in there.
It's going to be a rude upright.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless you as well. Take
good
care,
night.
Jose. Always good to hear from you.
Good night.
Good night now. Okay, I hate to put somebody on the air and then go immediately to a commercial. Can we just jump into our bottom of the hour break now, John? Okay, good idea. We'll go to our bottom of the hour break, then we'll come back and have at it some more. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. There is an open line if you want to take advantage and get in line. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. After months of investigation, authorities in Nicholas County have made a series of drug arrests. 14 people were arrested yesterday on charges of possession and delivery of a controlled substance. The arrests were made in Summersville, Richwood, Craigsville, Fenwick, Swiss, Enon, and also Birch River. The names of those arrested are Amy Foster, Gaylord Morris, James Johnson, Kimberly Kaufman, Ronald James Ward, Nicole Ray Peck, Danny Joe Proctor, Daniel E. Bennett, Heather Suzanne Proctor, Craig Allen Persinger, Charles P. Wright, Cecil Lee Dillard, Howard Delp, and also Michael Proctor. All were arraigned before a magistrate. A routine traffic stop outside Beckley has led to the arrest of a Russian immigrant for smuggling cigarettes. Sergei Charnovsky was stopped for speeding on Route 19 near Maple Fork Road late yesterday afternoon. A search of his minivan turned up 37 full cases of cigarettes and more packed away in bags. They also found $24,500 in cash and a receipt for almost $13,000 worth of cigarettes from an outlet in Burlington, North Carolina. Police say a pit bull attacked and killed a young girl visiting a family friend at Huntington late last night. Huntington Police Sergeant Dan Underwood says firefighters responding to the attack had to use a carbon dioxide spray canister to force the dog away from the 2-year-old or 3-year-old. The girl, whose name was not immediately known, was taken to Cabell Huntington Hospital, where she was pronounced dead at around 9:30 last night. Underwood says the girl, her mother, and at least two other people were sitting on the house's porch, and the homeowner apparently told them all to stay out of the house where the dog was. Beware of dog signs were posted at the house, and nobody was charged as of late last night. The pit bull was taken away by animal control officers, and a court hearing is scheduled for today, at which the officers were asked permission to destroy the animal. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, temperatures near 70. Tonight clear, then becoming partly cloudy, then a chance of showers late tonight. Low near 50. Tomorrow morning showers, then showers and thunderstorms by afternoon on Thursday. Temperatures in the mid-70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Rebecca Jameson.
SEIU President Andy Stern says that calling for AFL-CIO President John Sweeney's ouster and pushing sweeping reform of the labor movement does not divide nor weaken labor. Stern says it's about the profound question of the American dream of rewarded work and building a labor movement strong enough to keep that dream alive.
President Sweeney, I don't believe, has shown the commitment to the kind of change that's necessary, and we would not support his reelection.
Stern says the SEIU and four other dissident unions have gained ground since the AFL-CIO winter meeting in Las Vegas. He says there's a lesson in the failure of John Sweeney to reverse the decline of union workers as a percentage of the workforce.
John Sweeney, you know, ran on a platform of change and wasn't given the tools or the political policy to make the changes that were necessary. He tried very hard and ran into a brick wall. We have to tear down that brick wall and have a strategy about growing stronger and having unions with a focus and the resources and the will to get the job done. I see myself as a worker, you know, who has an opportunity in his life to be the voice for 1.8 million wonderfully hardworking hospital, home care, nursing home janitors and public workers, and I see an opportunity to change their lives, and we need to fight for them every day, and that's what I get up and do.
As the Reform Coalition lays out its hopes for the future of labor, Unite Here President John Wilhelm spoke with the Workers Independent News about why his union has endorsed the plan. He feels proposals laid out by AFL-CIO President John Sweeney cater to the status quo.
His proposals adopted the rhetoric of change, but not the substance.
The coalition calls for more money being devoted to organizing.
We don't see how worker power can be regenerated in this country if not far more focused on organizing.
Wilhelm says the coalition has yet to decide if they will run someone against Sweeney in the July AFL-CIO election.
If it turns out that unions representing a majority of AFL-CIO union members are content with the status quo in spite of the emergency we face, then there would really be no need for new AFL-CIO leadership.
He adds that the debate about the future of labor is the most important part of introducing the new proposals.
So we think it's a great debate. We think it's long overdue. I've been in the union 35 years, and there's never been a debate of this vigor about where we're going, and we think that's terrific.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. The number of Americans living in poverty was 35.9 million in 2003, an increase from 2002 poverty numbers. The U.S. Census Bureau says 1.3 million more people suffered from poverty in 2003. In 2002, 9.6% of American families were poor, defined as an annual income of less than $18,810 for a family of four. The total percentage of individuals in poverty, though, is more than 20%, some 9.7 million Americans.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley. Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. We're going to go right back to the phones, but I want you to hear one more of these, one more thing about one of these filthy Bush judicial nominees. Now, I've told you a little bit about Priscilla Owen. This woman sat on the Supreme Court of Texas, which is allowed by law to accept all manner of political donations from corporations, including the Ford Motor Company. And she let a case languish on her docket that even Ford Motor Company, which was party to the litigation, had agreed should be fast-tracked because the young man was in grievous need of resolution. And because, you know, for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the king was lost. For want of a king, the kingdom was lost. She let this case languish on her docket so long that by the time justice was finally served, the young man lived, what, another 6 months, maybe a year, and died before help could even be gotten to him out of the money that had been won out of the lawsuit. But, of course, if you're a Republican, you don't give a damn anyway because you think that that young man who was made a vegetable by virtue of a defective product, you think, like your president, that he won life's lottery. God, that makes me sick. So they're so desperate to have this right-wing extremist freak neo-Nazi on the court, this strumpet who will do anything for her corporate masters, this woman who had exactly no experience as a judge when she was elevated to the Texas Supreme Court, Priscilla Owen. All she had been was a lackey for an oil company. Well, they're so desperate to have her on there, they're willing to lie. Now, you remember back a couple of weeks ago when they had Sunday Justice Sunday and Tony Perkins? Norman? of the Family Research Council, who was out there shilling for these extremists and, you know, extolling the shooting of judges, that kind of thing. Well, he has a radio broadcast. It's called Washington Watch Weekly. And he told a honker on it not too long back. I want you to hear it. This is from May 14th, Washington Watch Weekly. Yeah, you try saying that three times fast. This is Tony Norman Perkins.
Now, liberals point to a Texas case in 2000 where a minor who lived at home with her parents sought a court exemption to the state law requiring her to notify her parents when she was having an abortion. It's called parental notification. Well, Justice Owen ruled with the majority against the exemption. Now, that would indicate that she felt like parents need to be involved in these important decisions that children make when it comes to life or death and abortion.
Well, there's only one problem with all that. He lied. This supposed Christian lied through his rotten, filthy teeth. Because, you see, Tony Perkins, Norman, you know why I do that, right? Norman Bates, Tony Perkins, psycho, Norman! He says in that clip that she ruled with the majority against the exemption. Again, there's only one problem with that. Tony Perkins is a rotten, filthy liar who will say anything to achieve the nefarious, fascistic, and dissented from that ruling. Her dissent was so wild-eyed, it was so radical, it was so freakishly conservative, that even torture boy Alberto Gonzalez, who was sitting on that court at that time, rebuked her. In a concurring opinion, he described her rule or her dissent as an effort, quote, to create hurdles that simply are not to be found in the words of the statute. He went on to refer to her as engaging in intolerable judicial activism. Ooh, judicial activism. Isn't that the phrase that gets the conservative Republicans' knickers all in a twist? Isn't it? Yes, yes, it is. So there's Tony Perkins, supposedly a man of God. But if there is politics involved, he will lie like a rug. So what? That's what the religion industry does. What does the religion industry care who gets on the bench? Oh, right. They've got an agenda. And it has nothing to do with the teachings of Yeshua, the Palestinian carpenter. Nothing. It has everything to do with raw, dirty, filthy, avaricious greed, fascism, and societal control. I mean, it's right there in black and white. Well, Justice Owen ruled with the majority against the exemption. But see, this creep is on something like 250 stations in the country. And he can lie with impunity, and me, a little old talk show host, sitting in Beckley, West Virginia, calls him on it, so what? It's the theory of the big lie again. If you tell a lie enough times, eventually it will be perceived as truth. And so for the listeners to those 250 stations out there, they have just swallowed a lie, hook, line, and sinker, and had no one there to disabuse them of the filth that is pumped out on a daily basis by the religion industry. It's right disturbing if you ask me. Let's go to the phones. Yerachmiel is with us. Hey, Yerachmiel, you're head on.
Oh, there I am.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, I run over the phone here. I hear you talking about a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah, we try to.
Yeah, you know, you don't seem to understand, mein Herr. The Führer is doing the work of the Lord.
Ah, entschuldigen bitte.
Yeah, he is appointing henchpersons
Yeah.
And we all know the best sense person. And not to generalize, but if you would generalize, usually when it comes to race. But these black women, certain black women, I must say, because there are better women than that, but the better women will never get the position. These dogs who, these, you can sick them on anyone you want at any given moment. They are worse than Dobermans and German Shepherds and Pit Bulls.
Yeah,
well, speaking of pit bulls, I can't stand it. You share this story, but that.
Oh, God, don't. Oh, no. You know, I don't even want to ponder it, Your Honor.
I'm just taking part of hearing those stories, you know, because they happen every now and then.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I've seen examples. Say whatever you want about me. I know a lot of black women are kind to women, you know, that's besides the point. It's cosmetics because she's a woman, because she's black.
Right, and that therefore
it looks like civil rights.
Right, and if I a white male in his early 40s dare criticize her, that somebody can therefore tar me with racist. I understand precisely what you're saying, Yerachmiel.
Right, and if you criticize the Jews, they'll call you an anti-Semite.
Sure,
but I'm lucky. Actually, they have called me a Jewish anti-Semite, but I don't care anymore.
But you know,
I don't care anymore.
But again, I mean, I understand what you mean with the generalizations, and of course, Hitler was very good at them. But, you know, you got this woman, Janice Rogers Brown, out of California, who was literally brought up the ladder on affirmative action and is now stomping on the hands of everyone trying to climb up behind her.
Well, you start out with Ronald Reagan, who came from a poor background. The difference between Ronald Reagan and Lyndon Johnson is that Lyndon Johnson always remembered his roots and respected them and had compassion on them. Whereas, in other words, he was the man who made it to the top, who his obligation was to do for his people. And all people.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Ronald Reagan came from a lower class, but he turned against them.
Well, right. As soon as, who was it? GE? Yeah, I think it was GE. As soon as GE offered him the big money, he sold out the Screen Actors Guild. He sold out his union brothers and sisters, forgot where he had come from, took the money, and the next thing you know, he was part of the intelligentsia. No, never that. He was part of the elite.
Right, the elite, right. Not the intelligence.
No, you could never accuse Ronald Reagan of being part of that.
Yeah, what I'm saying is this woman is one of those people. I mean, she has no more conscience. She has no more heart. She's dead.
Yeah, she is a dead thing inside.
And she's capable of being is mean a person. In the most arrogant way, you know, that anybody could be. And that's why they want her there. There's really no other reason. That's why they put Dr., you know, Condi in there. She's educated, she's black, she's a woman, but she's not human. She's a robot.
Right, and in both instances, and I will couch this in an apology in advance. I do not mean this from a racial standpoint. But she is there to do, Condi Rice and this Janice Rogers Brown are both there to do nothing more nor less than their master's bidding.
Right, yeah.
And it's pure sellout. But, you know, let's not confine this. You're absolutely right, Yerachmiel. The hope is that by nominating these extremists who happen to be women, and one of whom happens to be black, that they are somehow insulated from criticism. Okay? But, you know, look at this Priscilla Owen now. I mean, this woman's as white as a bar of ivory soap. But you know what? She's every bit as dead inside as Janice Rogers Brown, every bit as dead inside as kind of sleazy Rice. She is a thing. She is a creature to do her master's bidding. And that bidding is part of it. You need to read about it. You can probably... There is a movement out there of which, particularly Janice Rogers Brown is part. It is called the Constitution in Exile movement. Read about it. This is a creepy bunch. They honestly believe that Social Security is communism. They believe that everything that happened from Franklin Delano Roosevelt forward that helped anybody except rich people is a travesty of monumental proportions and must be rolled back. They believe that the free market can solve the ills of the country and that, if a corporation wants to take your pension away, you didn't deserve to have that pension in the first place.
Pardon me, was it not the free market who gave us the feudal system?
Sure, that's pure free market economics.
No regulations, you know, just barons and serfs.
Yeah, but then again, if you look at Adam Smith, that's not what he's talking about when he invents capitalism in The Wealth of Nations. There is a radical difference between Adam Smith's capitalism and what is going on in America today. Because Adam Smith's capitalism was to a certain extent predicated on a notion of enlightened self-interest.
Well, I think we live in a exploitive, predatory system. I think most of the talk about doing good, I know you're always suspicious of motives, you know, but I think that I guess mankind has proven to be exploitive.
Yeah.
To the greatest extent. I mean,
from the days when we would throw our brethren down out of the trees for the jackals and hyenas to take one instead of the rest. Yeah, we'll do some exploiting. We've just gotten particularly good at it, Urakmil.
Oh, we're very good at it, and in fact, I find it sickening. We're bombarded with this stuff. I mean, they try to, you know, everybody is pushing their advertisements. Everyone's, you know, trying to get your attention. If you buy that, you drink this. This is the most wonderful drink, you know.
It's all Alice in Wonderland, you know.
Yeah,
drink this, you know.
You know, this is everything. So they always assume that you're stupid and you're gullible and you're weak and you're easily manipulated, and that's always the assumption.
Yeah, hey, you buy this deodorant, you stink.
Yeah, but human relations, you know, in our everyday life, we run into exploitation in our, you know, personal relationships.
Sure.
And religion, especially. Religion is so full of exploitation, but it's even in the Bible that people are just, it's amazing how, you know, how explicit this is that, I think it was Peter, for example, I'm not going to every verse, you know, but Peter was one example. He said how people are going to lie and how they're going to misuse the gospel and everything he said word for word, you know.
Yeah, he kind of nailed it, didn't he?
Yeah, this is what he said. This is what they're going to do. They're going to take this and they're going to use it.
But see, as you come down through history and mainstream religion industry, Urakmil, people are always reading that passage and saying, well, he's talking about someone else. He's not talking about us.
I don't know.
You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, everybody says, oh, that couldn't be me.
Yeah, that's not us.
Well, listen, we're very fortunate people. As long as we have Hitler as to hold up as the epitome, you know, of the bad guy, the image, you know, the... Put his portrait up there, you know, there's the bad guy, and Bin Laden and a few people. And you know, by the way, it's very interesting how, in the context of Hitler, Stalin becomes an angel. You ever notice that?
Yeah, we just give him a pass.
Yeah, it's like, when you say Hitler, everybody says, oh, evil, 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 you know what I mean, evil, evil.
Well, yeah, I read a really interesting passage, and I would love to credit it, but I can't. I read so many things in any given day. But I read an account of, I'm sure you know who Elie Wiesel is.
Yeah.
Or Wiesel, I'm not sure which.
Yeah.
Wrote Night. He was asked to comment on the genocidal atrocities in Kosovo that were perpetrated by the Christians against the Muslim Kosovars. And he was asked, is this as bad, not as bad, or worse than what Hitler did? And this is the telling part. He absolutely refused to make the comparison. He said, I don't see a necessity to compare one horror with another in order to, and I can't remember the exact phrasing, but in order to validate one of the horrors.
Yeah, in order to necessitate a concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, and say, you know, how much should we care about it?
So, you know, sometimes I wonder if we make a mistake by referencing Hitler, because everybody thinks that, I mean, we can see it in America right now, today, Urakmil. We've got this notion, despite what Henry Wallace warned us in 1944 or so, about when fascism comes to America, we've got this notion that if we don't have people with really nifty-looking black uniforms and red armbands doing the goose step and some guy with a Charlie Chaplin mustache walking around waving his arm about, that it can't possibly be fascism. Well, newsflash, sure it can.
Well, you know...
And it can wear a Brooks Brothers suit.
I hate to tell you this, but, you know, what really bothers me right now, this nation is slowly but slowly, because you know how the devil works, how they boil the frog?
Yeah.
Slowly but slowly, right?
Yeah, sure.
Now, in Nazi Germany, first of all, you had the history of the Crusades, the Inquisition, the anti-Semitism.
The pogroms.
Right, pogroms. But then you had Bismarck, you know, the pan-Germanism and the anti-Semitism of Wagner, you know, and all that sort of thing. So what Hitler did, I mean, he took all the ingredients and put them together, but everything was leading up to it. What bothers me is right now there is President – look, there's two approaches. Either you enlighten people like Jesus wanted to enlighten people and finally bring them to the ultimate salvation is where you see the truth and you accept it. You're saved. It's not what somebody tells you what to do. It's what you understand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one approach.
It works from the inside out.
Yeah, but the other approach is realize that most people are not going to do that. You do what President Kennedy did, and you heave-ho, shove it down their throats. Well, like Thomas Jefferson, you legislate, you bombard them with propaganda. Why? Not because you're evil like Hitler, because you know that most people aren't going to do it.
Right.
And you have to save society from the evil inclinations that people have. So what I'm saying is, well, right now there isn't, you know, they're trying to change the United States, USA, which is United States of America, to the USR, which is the United Skinheads of Republica. That's what they're trying to do right now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And not only are they trying to undo the Roosevelt legacy, they're trying to undo the Kennedy legacy. Because right now, you go to a lot of, when I see these solid blocks of white people, post office,
yeah.
In businesses, in, you know, I could take you on a tour, and you could probably take me on a tour. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Point the finger and say, how come those people, not only are they white, they're all damn related to each other. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure, I do.
And they can't stand, they would let a black man crawl in on his belly and lick the damn dirt off their stinking floor. That's how racist they are.
Yeah.
They just don't, they're just not noisy about it. And one of these racists called up, we called up another program and said, response to me, he said, just because somebody can't get a job in the post office, that's the United States Postal Service. That's not the United Skinhead Postal Service. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Now, either we say all men are created equal, or we go on with this racism. And it's not just the black people.
Yeah, and you know.
I want to say, this thing about the black and white, that's just a typical, conspicuous, you know, issue.
But in other, you know, in other areas of the country, there's always got to be somebody to loathe. If you are not enlightened, if you are not morally grounded, if you are not, well, never mind. But so it's Latinos, it's the Asians. Again, it's what I've said time and time again, you rock meal, about the other side. Right-wing hate radio came to fruition on an idea that some other is the danger to this country. That it's not that there is no little hateful seed of evil growing in any one of Rush Limbaugh's listeners. It's always someone else's fault. And then at the same time they preach, and those people have to have personal responsibility. Not us, they. Because we're always personally responsible, but those others, the dangerous ones, the strange, the unknown, the ones, and you know, it's manifested. I can't remember the guy's name now. Was appointed to one of the commissions that seeks racial harmony. Appointed by the president, and the guy was notorious for writing columns where he said, Muslims cook food that smells funny and they don't bathe frequently enough to suit me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I can't remember his name right now, and I'm ashamed of myself.
Some Muslims bathe quite fanatically.
Well, look, I mean, when we started the Crusades, It was a heretical notion, but Muslim physicians advised their European counterparts that instead of praying over people and bleeding them, that they might want to consider augmenting their diet with fresh foods, letting some sunlight and fresh air in, and change the straw once in a while and bathe them.
Right.
Women were burnt at the stake by the church for daring to suggest that people would get well if they were bathed once in a while.
Well, you know, I once heard that one of the reasons the Jews didn't get that black plague was because they have very strict laws about
cleansing.
Yeah, well, they wash their hands frequently during the day. They every time they come out of the bathroom, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they got to
wash. They salt their meat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it'll be preserved.
You know, well, the thing is, they soak it, draw the blood out, and they draw the rest of the blood out with salt.
Mm-hmm.
Then they rinse it, and, you know, and by the time they do all of that, I mean, and of course they cook it thoroughly, you know, there's just certain things that might help. I mean, if you read in the Bible, way back thousands of years ago, Moses was saying you should, or want to say Yeshua, I say Moshe, you know, but
yeah.
He was saying you got to have a shovel, bury your dirt.
Yeah.
You know, don't leave it out in the open. Just recently, Gandhi was running around telling people to do that, and a lot of people wouldn't listen to him.
It's amazing. Yerachmiel, we've got to roll on. I always enjoy the conversation, though. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope we escaped this stuff. I hope we turned it around.
I do, too, but we have to wait and see what's going to go down in the Senate. It yet remains to be seen whether my side will even bother to fight.
I know.
It wears you out sometimes. Thanks, Yerachmiel.
All right.
Okay, top of the hour break. More of your phone calls when we come back. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm Dave Lariski, head of MSHA. Over 100 miners have been killed in mine explosions over the last 20 years. More than half of those explosions occurred during colder weather months, October through March. During winter months, huge decreases in barometric pressure may allow explosive levels of methane to move from remote areas to working areas of an underground coal mine. This increases risk as the methane could meet with an ignition source and cause an explosion. Precautions can be taken to help you avoid a tragic accident. First, be sure to follow your coal mine's approved ventilation plan. Second, always conduct good pre-shift examinations. These are very important. Third, apply rock dust in all areas of the mine. And last, never, ever smoke cigarettes or even carry smoker's articles in an underground coal mine. Thank you for listening, and always remember, safety is a value.
WWNR Beckley.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distributions.
If you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, you can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Presenting another great moment in FirstGov.gov history. Mrs. Marilyn Gorman applies for Social Security benefits online before breakfast.
And got it. Pancakes, anyone?
Visit FirstGov.gov today. It's government made easy.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Earlier today, reached the low to mid-70s. We'll head for 55 overnight. Remain very quiet with a few clouds by early tomorrow.
Thursday afternoon, clouds and scattered thunderstorms, pretty much the fare of the afternoon. A few may be severe. We'll watch for large hail producers as we get up to 73 before all that commences. Overnight low, 57 into Friday, becomes 65 with an 80% chance of rain Friday afternoon.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeehaw! Hour number two, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. And we're going right back to the phones. The number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. It's fair to say that people keep me informed via email, bob@headonradio.com, about the sleazy and tawdry things that are said about me on a certain other program on this station. And I find it laughable. You know, well, Bob Kincaid, he's a hater. He's a name caller. He's mean. See, my side doesn't get to say anything at all unkind about the Republican overlords. On the other hand, you can, if you're a Republican, you can say just about anything you want to, and you get away with it. Case in point. Now, this clown is not broadcast on this station. Thank God. I'd have to be on medication if he was, but he is syndicated around the country. I want you to listen to this idiot. It's amazing. This is Glenn Beck. Now, this is one of those hate Hillary people, hate everybody people. But I get the rap for being a mean guy. Listen to this.
Hang on, let me just tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore. And I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost the all sense of right and wrong.
Yeah, I'm the mean guy. Now, let's recap just for the fun of it. Republicans take the floor in the House of Representatives and talk about the day when they'll bump off a few judges. They go into the well of the Senate, Republican senators do, like John Cornyn, and talk about how they can understand the anguish that is behind a terrorist who, say, you know, blows up a building to get at a judge. This monster gets on the air and talks about killing another individual and choking him with his bare hands. I have never done anything like that. Now, I talk about the stump licker bunch from time to time in metaphorical terms and how you have to haul back and mash them in the mouth and, you know, just to let them know you mean business. But for one, I'm not talking about doing it literally. He was talking about it literally. Two, there is not a chance in heaven, hell, or anything in between of any Democrat ever having that kind of guts. So it's not going to happen. But I take the grief for it because I speak strongly, because I won't sit here and be all mealy-mouthed and, oh, my goodness, I don't understand why Bill Frist wants to take away our filibuster. My goodness, that's just terrible. If he'd only be a little nicer to us, we could get a whole choir together and sing Kumbaya for him. Please, Jesus, turn Bill Frist's heart around. Please fill him with your abiding...
It ain't gonna happen, sunshine. This man's a monster. He is a servant of Satan.
Now, see, there he goes. He's calling names again. He was just trying to tell us how nice he...
No, I wasn't!
I was trying to explain to you that when the Republicans are out there talking murder, it is a rule of thumb that Democrats may not meet fire with fire. But you see, he's a Republican, and therefore he, you know, like Rush Limbaugh using filthy language that could get this station fined some $275,000 one of these days. But he's a Republican, so he knows the FCC is never going to come after him. If I said half the garbage that he says on the air, I'd be buried. So I watch my language very, very carefully on this program. And we make sure that the callers don't get out of bounds on this program. Do you understand? Do you see the distinction?
there's a double standard in this country. And, it extends to the Newsweek debacle. Over and over and over. January 9th, 2005, Andrew Sullivan writing in the Sunday Times of London, this from a column by Molly Ivins. God bless her, what a wonderful woman. We now know a great deal about what has gone on in U.S. detention facilities under the Bush administration. Several government and Red Cross reports detail the way that many detainees have been treated. We know for certain that the United States has tortured 5 inmates to death. We know that 23 others have died in U.S. custody under suspicious circumstances. We know that torture has been practiced by almost every branch of the U.S. military in sites all over the world, from Abu Ghraib to Tikrit, Mosul, Basra, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo Bay. We know that no incidents of abuse have been reported in regular internment facilities and that hundreds have occurred in prisons geared to getting intelligence. We know that thousands of men, women, and children were grabbed almost at random from their homes in Baghdad, taken to Saddam's former torture palace and subjected to abuse, murder, beatings, semi-crucifixions, and rape. All of this is detailed in the official reports. What has been perpetrated in secret prisons to ghost detainees hidden from Red Cross inspections, we do not know. We may never know. December 30th, 2004, released Moroccan Guantanamo detainee tells Islamist paper of his ordeal, reported the Financial Times of London.
Liberal!
They watched you each time you went to the toilet. The American soldiers used to tear up copies of the Quran and throw them in the toilet, said the released prisoner. But Newsweek is the guilty party. And Newsweek knuckled under. And Newsweek put on its knee pads.
Please don't say anything more mean about us, Scott McClellan. We're very, very afraid of you. Please don't be mean to us anymore. We apologize, dear God. We really, really will.
And then the International Red Cross put out a report regarding our torture at Guantanamo. And it spoke to all of these issues. Let's see. Prisoners were hanged for hours or days from bars or doors in semi-crucifixions. They were repeatedly beaten unconscious, woken and then beaten again for days on end. They were sodomized. They were urinated on, kicked in the head, had their ribs broken, and were subjected to electric shocks. Some Muslims had pork or alcohol forced down their throats. They had tape placed over their mouths for reciting the Quran. Many Muslims were forced to be naked in front of each other, members of the opposite sex, and sometimes their own families. It was routine for the abuses to be photographed in order to threaten the showing of the humiliating footage to family members. May 1st, the New York Times, the same investigation Newsweek was writing about. They interviewed a released Kuwaiti who spoke of 3 major hunger strikes, one of them touched off by guards handling copies of the Quran, which had been tossed into a pile and stomped on. A senior officer delivered an apology over the camp's loudspeaker system, pledging that such abuses would stop. Interpreters standing outside each prison block translated the officer's apology. A former interrogator at Guantanamo, in an interview with the Times, the New York Times, confirmed the accounts of the hunger strikes, including the public expression of regret over the treatment of the Qurans. In other words, the Newsweek story is pure manufactured Republican filth. But we have a servile, subservient media that lives in abject terror of the Bush administration. We have a subservient media that has no longer any regard for the First Amendment and does not feel itself a guardian of anything. The only thing that stands between, well, it doesn't even stand between, but it is at least screaming its head off in the fight, and those are the bloggers and little radio shows like this one. Because the mainstream media owes its very existence. You know, if you say something nasty about George, you might get taken off the list and not be able to go to the press gaggles anymore. And the next thing you know, your place has been taken over by a gay male hooker like Jeff Gannon. Where's the Jeff Gannon story? Can't talk about that. Got to talk about Newsweek. Where's the Downing Street memo story? It took weeks of complaints to the Washington Post before it finally showed up on page A18, while the Newsweek story was on page 1. You remember the Downing Street memo where the intelligence was being fixed around the evidence? Sure you do. But of course, it's liberal bias, isn't it? No sunshine. It's facts. And we're dealing with a cadre of fascists at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who have no more regard for the First Amendment than a hog does for a Sunday suit. That's just me, and who me is Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for LS Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring Sales Event. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. Great selection. No hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. Our select models with improved credit. Head to the cruise related purchase. Suggest a new old price for over 303 for less than 60 months and 6.9% of your high limits. Offer ends 5/30/105.
Around the block, just up your street, with neighbors you should meet.
So there you are daydreaming about how great it would be if you didn't have to work anymore, and how you could spend your days just playing with your kids and doing the things you want to do. Then you start to wonder how you pay for their college, not to mention your retirement. That's when it hits you. What about their college? What about your retirement? And you wonder if you've done a good job of planning and saving for both. Your neighborhood State Farm agents Jerry Gibbons in Somersville, Butch McNeely in Mullins, and Susan Petrin-Cosby in Beaver can do more for you than ever. They can help you with information on life insurance, college savings plans, health insurance, and IRAs. See State Farm agents Jerry Gibbons in Somersville, Butch McNeely in Mullins, or Susan Petrin-Cosby in Beaver, and keep your kids' college and your retirement dreams alive.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Providing insurance and financial services.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage. Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Almost 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is Head On. I've given up. I've got the time check just ingrained in my DNA. I'm going to tell you what time it is. I'm sorry. And I'm probably confusing people out in Central Time. No, I'm not. We're talking about decent people, liberals, progressives. They can do the math. They can probably even set the recorder on their VCR. Jim is with us and has been waiting a while. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I think I'm just doing dandy.
Listen, I got a couple things to share with you.
Sure, go right ahead.
Your name was taken in vain this morning on the morning show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you didn't know the difference between cutting down a tree and aborting a child or something, words to that effect. I'm Mr. Steve Kerr O'Brien.
Oh, well, you know.
I just thought you'd like to know.
Well, you know, I love it when they talk about this show on other shows. It's wonderful.
Well, I mean, you know.
And there's a reason.
I thought y'all had some type of tacit agreement that you weren't going to do that, but, I mean, he seems to enjoy violating that.
Hey, you know what, Jim? There's a reason that this is the fastest growing radio show in West Virginia and quite possibly one of the fastest growing in the country. It's hard not to talk about it.
Well, you know, hey, it's better, like Manny West said, it's better to be looked over than overlooked, right?
Right.
Listen, a few things I wanted to just share, a few concerns. And the first thing is this business about this guy named Tomlinson up with the public broadcasting system in Washington.
Oh, God. Yeah, I haven't given that the attention that it deserves.
Well, apparently this guy Kenneth Tomlinson wants to redirect or rechannel funds in the PBS network away from newscasts and public affairs programming toward music. and he wants to monitor Middle Eastern coverage on national public radio programs for evidence of bias, which is particularly sensitive to the administration. And
Jim,
he has decided that
it's what fascists do, Jim. It's what fascists do.
Well, I know, but he thinks that Big Bird leans too much to the left.
Oh, God, I
and
know.
So basically
and Bert and Ernie are, and Bert and Ernie are gay, right?
Huh?
And Bert and Ernie are gay, right?
And what now?
Bert and Ernie are gay.
I guess so. Again, you know, in his mind, I mean, you know, you can't, I really can't tell the sexual preferences of anybody anymore without their scorecard, you know?
Well, I personally can't tell the sexual preference of a damn puppet.
Yeah, this is true. But they're going to have a meeting on the 2nd June in Washington, and, you know, there's a petition being circulated to prevent this man from trying to subvert the two remaining things in this country that are sources of free information, free and unbiased information.
Well, but the thing that really just makes me cackle like a hen laying eggs is this idea that NPR is somehow liberal.
This is what he's trying to do. First, he wants to hire some woman named Patricia Harrison, who was a former co-chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And replace the existing outgoing CBP president, Catherine Cox. Then he wants to directly seek to influence programming decision, and he's hired two, quote, ombudsmen, what a term, which represent conservative and liberal viewpoints to work for Corporation Public Broadcasting and then
hunt
down any bias.
Yeah, Hannity and Combs revisited.
Yeah, second, he wants to work with the White House to sabotage efforts at reform, and he wants to use his relationship with Karl Rove to sabotage a proposal that would have made the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Board more professional and less partisan.
Yeah.
That one was hard to get out, man.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you've got this.
Then he wants to nail Bill Moyers high to the wall.
Well, Bill Moyers hardly works for him anymore, although Bill Moyers came out over the weekend and said that this drive toward the fascization, ooh, that's a hell of a note, of public broadcasting may drag him back out of retirement.
Well, I hope so, because this Thomason guy is trying to destroy PBS and NPR as we know them.
But, Jim, do you remember when the email came out a few months back, where one of these right-wing monsters was saying that, what was it, there would never be a better time for destroying Social Security than now? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's the same thing with public broadcasting. For as long as public broadcasting has existed, the right wing has damned well despised it. Okay?
Well,
they hate it.
The truth.
And if they could kill it, they would. And there is not going to be a better time to kill it than right now.
But they're not going to.
Well, okay. I'll grant you your optimism.
No, they're not going to.
Somebody's got to fight for it and stop them, Jim.
Well, people are.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
There's another little ditty, too, that you need to be aware of, and that is in a couple of weeks, Bush is going to approve the weaponization of space.
Yeah, I caught that.
So you saw the New York Times article?
No, I didn't see the article. I just heard mention of it while I was cooking breakfast this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on CNN.
Well, I mean, this is something that's just really crazy. I mean, and one of the programs is called Rods from God.
No, you got to be kidding on that one.
And that's when they're going to have blocks of titanium and uranium up there that they can bring down. And by the time it hits the target, it'll be going about 7,200 miles an hour.
Well, howdy do. Somebody's been reading Robert A. Heinlein again.
Well, I mean, you know, this is the stuff they're talking about doing.
I know, and I'm not kidding.
From the ABM treaty, and therefore, you know, he feels like we have carte blanche to go ahead and you know, build our own Death Star, so we can use all types of satellites to disrupt communication, or to put laser beams with mirrors on them, and stuff like, or things that will deflect laser beams, and you know, completely go against the desires of the European Union and other countries.
Oh, who cares about them? We are fascist America, and we will damned well do what we please.
I'm afraid that's the attitude, my friend.
But I'm not kidding. Somebody's been reading Robert A. Heinlein again, a wonderful book. I love it to death. It's called The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
Yeah.
And its entire premise centers on a revolution on the moon. And the moon fights back, the people of the moon fight back against the people of the earth by lobbing great big rocks at the earth. And Heinlein was no slouch of a scientist. He works it all out and explains to you how it would work. Somebody out there, you know, and that's the scary thing. So many times, you know, you've read Catch-22, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, see, I read that as a black comedy on the disastrous nature of warfare. You might as well.
I do.
Somebody in the Bush administration has read it, and they think it's a standard operating procedures manual.
Well, I mean, they kind of use it as a blueprint.
Exactly. I mean, you remember M&M Enterprises?
Yeah.
What's good for the company is good for Milo Minderbinder and we can buy eggs in Malta for 2 cents and sell them in Pianosa for 1 cent and make a profit and everybody has a share.
You got it.
That's Halliburton, Jim.
I know. How well I know.
You know, and again, the same thing with Dr. Strangelove. I used to think it was one of the funniest movies I'd ever seen, and damned if they haven't ruined that for me, and it's some sort of terroristic cautionary tale of what's going to happen when a Bush takes the White House.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, really, this man, in my opinion, has been, ever since he's been on this earth, a walking doomsday machine.
And most Bushes are.
Yeah.
I mean, I have argued time and again that George W. Bush is walking proof that that Roe versus Wade was decided a generation too late.
But, you know, the thing about it is this. Even though he thought it was his first year, he's into the first year of his second term, mm-hmm. and already he's a lame duck.
Oh, yeah, he's quacking like crazy.
He's a lame duck, and Bob, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's going to grab a third rail for him because all these people, they're going to be gone. And they're having their brief gaudy hour right now.
Well, Jim, explain to me, I mean, maybe it's just because I lack the political savvy. Explain to me why the Democrats are offering to put Priscilla Owens and Janice Rogers Brown on the bench. And call it a compromise?
Well, I don't think they are.
Yeah, they have. That's part of the compromise offer right now. 9 out of 10 of those disputed judges get approved.
Well, now, have these women been appointed to the bench?
These are the nominees that we're having the fight over, and those are the two principal freaks that are especially odious.
Well, now, the first one is a single mother. She graduated from UCLA in 1977.
Right.
And her latest desire was to learn Hebrew. She wants to be able to read things in the original text, I guess. And she's a very strange woman.
Oh, she's bizarre. I mean,
she's
this is
the woman who said something about the cannibalizing.
Yes, yes. This is the woman who says that America's seniors are cannibalizing their grandchildren.
Well, I mean, this lady is just.
But Jim,
she's self-destructive.
No, my friend, no. Our good, compromising Democratic senators, those moderates who are trying to reach common ground with their Republican brothers and sisters, they have offered to put her on the bench if the Republicans will just promise not to take their little filibuster away.
And when do they do this?
It's all over the news today.
Well, now it's just
the same thing with Priscilla Owens.
All right, has this deal been, shall we say, is it fait accompli, or is it just in the...
That I don't know. It's my understanding that the cat killer is still screaming that all 10 go on, or we're going to have the nuclear option.
Well, then, you know, let the curse, let, you know, then fine. And like Pharaoh of old, let the last plague of Egypt come from his own mouth.
Yeah, I love the way you think sometimes, Jim. We got to take our break.
What do you mean by that?
I do. I do. I love the way you think sometimes. That's a great analogy. Let the last plague be out of his own mouth.
It's exactly the truth, and that's exactly what he's doing. Because you know, just if you want to hold me over, you can. I'll explain something to you.
Okay, let's do that. I like that thought. We'll take our break now. Thanks, Jim. Hang on there.
Okay.
This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. West Virginia's legislature joined other officials today in the fight to keep four military bases open and active in the state. The House and Senate both unanimously adopted a resolution that urges a federal commission to reject last week's recommendations from the Defense Department. The Pentagon had proposed closing Army Reserve Centers in Huntington and Fairmont and the Navy Marine Corps Reserve Center in Moundsville. The Pentagon's list also recommends the 130th National Guard Airlift Wing in Charleston lose its C-130 cargo planes. The legislature has passed a proposal to delay premium rate hikes for the Public Employees Insurance Agency. The bill would take $5 million from a tax on insurance policies and freeze a PEIA premium increase till January 1st. The increase was supposed to start on July 1st. Among the bills passed during today's special session was a measure that aims to help Huntington with pensions for its police and firefighters. The city's program is the worst funded of its type in the state, but the legislation proposed by Governor Manchin would allow it to sell bonds to shore it up. The special prosecutor in last month's shooting at that Fayetteville funeral home has met with the lead investigator in the case. Wyoming County Prosecutor Todd Hawk and Corporal Roger Boone with the State Police O'Kill Detachment conferred in Beckley on Monday, and Hawk says Boone provided him with copies of all of his documents. They went through where he is on the case. Authorities think Larry Hess shot Jerry Chesterfield to death April 29th at the Dodd Payne Hess Funeral Home in Fayetteville. Hess is co-director of the funeral home. Chesterfield was his son-in-law. No formal charges or arrests have been made in that case. And a logger has been hospitalized after being struck by a tree while working in Raleigh County. The logger was working near Dry Creek Road off State Route 3 when a tree fell on him just before 8 o'clock yesterday morning. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Partly cloudy and warm this evening. Temperatures now around 70. Tonight clear, then becoming partly cloudy. Then a chance of showers late tonight with a low near 50. And tomorrow, a chance of showers in the morning, and then showers and thunderstorms possible by Thursday afternoon, but temperatures stay warm. Again, tomorrow's high in the mid-70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
George W. likes to strut around declaring that he's a bold leader who's unafraid to tackle big problems. So where's his boldness on the gargantuan problem of America's addiction to high-priced, high-polluting oil? We recently saw the ballyhooed release of his new energy program, which wasn't new at all and does practically nothing to shift our nation's policy to a sensible future of clean, renewable energy. But let's just deal here with a volatile issue of the skyrocketing prices at the gas pump. But even Bush's Hummer-driving constituency is mumbling about $2.50 a gallon gasoline, and these rising prices are putting a real hardship on cabbies, farmers, truck drivers, and other working folks. But Mr. Bold Leader says, oh gosh, there's nothing I can do. It's out of my hands. I'm powerless. Good luck. Hogwash. One thing a real leader would do would be to crack down on the oil companies that are gouging the middle class and poor folks, robbing us not with a gun but with a nozzle of a gas pump. The corporate cartel of ExxonMobil, Chevron, Texaco, Royal Dutch Shell, ConocoPhillips, etc. are making a killing from their oil wells, then using their monopolistic control of gasoline refining and marketing to profiteer at our expense. Their windfall profits this year alone are so huge that some of them are complaining that they don't know how to spend it all. But our problem solver in chief is AWOL. No temporary price regulations to stop the gouging, no windfall profits tax to recoup the ripoff, no presidential scolding of the gougers, no crackdown by the Federal Trade Commission on price collusion by the oil giants, nothing. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, this is no surprise since the Bushites have oil for brains. Big Oil is a big-time campaign donor to Bush and literally makes federal energy policy. For example, guess who George W. appointed to head the FTC, the agency that's supposed to be the public's watchdog against such monopolistic gouging? A lawyer from Chevron, Texaco.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right.
And on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Jim hung through the break to elaborate on his Pharaoh analogy. You there, Jim?
I'm here, bud.
Okay.
Now, what I'm trying to say is this. These people, these Republicans and the people they've managed to fool, in the hardness of their heart, have mocked God.
Yes.
Therefore, they will suffer divine retribution for that particular act. I mean, that's one deed that will not go unpunished. And, you know, there are more of us than there are them.
Oh, by a long shot, if we would only vote like it.
Well, I mean, that is coming around. I mean, that is coming around, and, you know, it's not going to come around. I mean, look, Bob, this whole thing didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to go away overnight.
Okay? No, it's not. And
we've got to be patient. And the thing about it is, when the time comes and our opportunity is presented, then we can jerk the rug right out from under them.
But, you know, there's a concern that I have, Jim, and I guess I'm a little bit more of a pessimist than perhaps you are. And that is, I'm scared to death of the Republicans, the Bill Frists of the world. You know, if you can go and adopt a cat at the shelter and then blithely cut it open and
go. Well, okay, let's not go into that.
Well, no, if you can do that.
I know. I understand what the man is. The man's a pig.
He's a monster.
He's a pig.
Don't
He's
sell the pig short. Pigs are smart. Pigs are gentle. Pigs are, you know, pigs are loving critters if you've got one
for
a pet.
Well, I mean, he is just a subhuman as far as I'm concerned. He's an untermensch.
Yeah, all of that. But what I'm getting at here, I'm scared to death of them, okay? But my own party scares me, too, because, for instance, if that day dawns when we retake the Senate, and it's not if, it's when, and let's assume that the Republicans have managed to go through and destroy the filibuster as they seek to do. I can imagine a day, because I am a Democrat, I can imagine a day when the Senate is in Democratic hands again and the Republicans decide that they would like to filibuster somebody and we say, well, you know, we don't want to seem like we're tyrannical or anything. Here, let us give you the filibuster back. Are you? I mean, do you think for an instant that there aren't that some of those lily-livered kumbaya types in the United States Senate wouldn't do that in a minute? Do you think Joe Lieberman wouldn't do that in a minute?
Joe Lieberman won't be there.
Joe Lieberman's going to be there as long as he wants to be there him home.
Wrong answer, friend. You're wrong there.
Who's going to be there? Another Republican?
It won't be Joe Lieberman.
Well, they're not going to. I mean, he's up for re-election in 06, and they are scouring the Connecticut countryside for a progressive to run against him in the primaries. They can't find one.
A progressive who? Republican or Democrat?
Democrat. To run against him in the primaries.
I'll tell you one thing. As far as I'm concerned, they couldn't have anybody any different than. They may as well have a Republican up there to have him.
Right.
So, who is the birth? Where is the beef?
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, as far as this is concerned, the filibuster thing, I just don't believe, excuse me, that that's going to happen. I mean, now Frist is tall all or nothing, and if he wants to push a button, he's going to bring down the ruin on his own head, and he knows that.
Well, to use some poker terminology, he's gone all in on this. But
well,
I read some analysis on this, and some of it made sense, Jim, part of which was the idea that even if Frist goes nuclear, see, George Bush, nuclear, even if Frist... Even if Frist goes nuclear and loses, given the fact that he wants to run for president in 08, and given the fact that he is trying to nail down the official anointment from the right-wing religion industry, even if he goes nuclear and loses, he wins with them. So that we've got another candidate to run on the Republican ticket who can... you know, set up campaign headquarters in the basements of Baptist churches and have the Chan Chandlers out there telling people that they're voting for Satan if they vote for a Democrat. You know, all this hateful, obnoxious crap.
But, I mean, do you think that'll work again?
How many times has it worked so far?
Once I know of.
Well, it was pretty good money in 2000. It almost got George the popular vote.
Well, I think it was Karl Rove that honed it into an art form in 2004.
And you think Karl's just going to slink off into some sleazy little hole somewhere?
Well, I don't think the man has any lease on life, Bob.
Well, you know what? It took had it not been for a fortuitous brain tumor, Lee Atwater would be with us to this day.
Like I say, none of us have a lease on life, my friend.
I understand that.
You know?
Yeah.
And God works mysterious ways, his wonders to behold.
Well, I tell you what.
You have to have faith, my friend. And just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on plucking.
It's not the faith in God that troubles me. It's my lack of faith in my party, Jim.
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to have to do the best you can. Work through the system, as you've told me. And you know what my solutions are.
Yeah, I do. I do.
I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know what I do?
I know. Don't say it or I'll be accused of being Glenn Beck.
No. This is me talking.
Okay.
I mean, you know, a lot of these people up there right now are just as guilty as were the prisoners in the dock at Nuremberg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I had my way, history would be repeated in that situation.
Well, you know, George Galloway sat there in that Senate subcommittee hearing yesterday.
And told them just about that.
And told them that they were war criminals.
Well, I mean, who else has caused the death of 100,000 Iraqi civilians? 15,000 American troops have been, or 20,000 have been just horribly wounded, or if not 30.
Yeah, and we want
We've
to shut
got about 1,600 dead right now.
And we want to shut down the hospital where the wounded are being treated, yeah.
And also, we have attempted to sequester for ourselves the resources of another nation by the means of war.
I know.
I mean, now let's face it. I mean, you tell me, if you look at the indictments that were handed down in the Palace of Justice at Nuremberg in 1946, and you look in what Mr. Galloway said yesterday and what the world is beginning to think of the leadership of this country, I mean, a lot of those people would kind of fill the bill real quickly.
Well, if this was any nation but the United States, there would be indictments, there would be war crimes trials. And I tell you what, you mentioned Nuremberg, Jim, I got to share this with you.
Go ahead.
Go to bartkopp.com.
Mm-hmm.
On his page today, you will see a beautiful photograph of all the defendants sitting in those rows upon rows at the Nuremberg trial. I'm not going to tell you any more about it. Go there, have a look at it, and get back with me. You'll enjoy it. I got to roll on, though, right
How
now.
How do you spell Joe. That?
Bartkopp, bartcop.com.
Okay.
Have a look. I think you'll get a giggle.
All right, sir.
All right, later, Jim. And Steve. Hey, Steve, you're head on. Yeah.
Love the show, first of all.
Thanks.
I was at work early and had to go. Anyhow, real quick, first of all, I'm a libertarian, and I agree with a lot of things you say, and I'll say this. You have a lot of, I admire the way you go after your points, unlike a lot of people on the left do.
Thank you.
And I think that's what's hurt shows like Air America and things like that. There's no real fire in it.
Well, there are. Randy Rhodes has plenty of fire, and God knows Mike Malloy has plenty of fire.
Well, Anyhow, like I said, I'm at work now,
sure.
And I'm going to keep it short. But it's interesting how you brought up Henry Wallace today. You know, Henry Wallace, you know, and it's interesting what I want to talk about. Henry Wallace was not a fan of freedom. I mean, he wasn't. He was a nauseating Stalinist apologist.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know, he supported the Soviet side in the Berlin Airlift. And my point is like I said, I've never voted for Republican besides one in '88 when I was 18. But if the Democrats do not get away, and if they don't fight for working people, they're done.
Yeah.
Right after the election, this last election, Al Fromm of the DLC, you probably don't like him, he came out and said the Democratic Party has got to be the party of FDR, JFK, and Truman, not Michael Moore. And I'm telling you, Bob, I made less than $25,000 last year. I have no incentive to vote for a Republican. I'm working right now. I'm a college graduate. A lot of people think I'm a loser.
I know.
I mean, I have a part-time job. I'm a river guy on the news.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there is no reason at all because the Republican side is a bunch of knuckleheads. What makes you think of people in America are going to automatically jump over to the Democrats?
Well, I don't.
I mean, there's got to be. I know you're a big proponent of the UN, and I cannot figure out why. And I'm not one of those black helicopter conspiracy idiots.
I understand.
The UN is so. I'm not going to say they're you know, the conspiracy wackos that live on, you know, those types, but they are so inefficient and they're populated with Stalinist, you know, the Robert Mugabe's of the world. Let me give you real quick, because again, I'm at work.
No, listen, I probably know where you're going to go, but the reason I believe in the UN, let's put it this way, Steve. It's not that I believe in the UN; it's that I believe in the potential of the UN.
That's fair.
Because we saw what happened as a function of America's refusal to participate in the League of Nations, didn't we?
Well, we'll go over to the League of Nations. When the Soviet Union invaded Finland in 1940, the League of Nations expelled the Finns.
I know.
I mean, just the idea of you know, the idea of...
And we and Steve, we weren't there.
Huh?
We weren't there.
I just don't see what the... Let me get real quick. I'm from Atlanta, and I went to a thing at the Carter Center this winter about human rights.
I love Atlanta. I lived there for a while.
Oh, really? Well, actually, I'm actually from Rome, north of there. And I went to a thing at the Carter Center, and it was about human rights, and the historian Douglas Brinkley was there. And a lot of people like that, and I got up, and of course, you know, it's kind of hard to be nice to hear a thing like that defending any Republican policies, which I didn't. But, you know, there's the left in this country has somehow confused, because the policies of the Republican administration or conservatives are misguided, they have embraced the, you know, tyrannical dictators. We had people at that symposium talking about, you know, they were mentioning Pinochet and all, you know, you name Franco and all the, but yet there was a girl wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt. And of course, I got up and said, you know, Che Guevara, not a nice person. No, I said, you know, Fidel Castro, not a nice person.
Well,
do the people on the left embrace those people?
Che is a romantic figure, probably the single most romantic figure of the hard left.
Yeah, I agree. But
and,
nobody condemned Fidel Castro, and Castro kills people every day.
And look, Steve, how many lives do you think we would have saved if we hadn't engaged in this stupid pig-headed policy that we initiated, frankly, in the Kennedy administration?
I'm against it. I think a free society ought to be able to go anywhere.
Well, yeah, and among other things, you know, you engage them in commerce. You know, we have historically been far more successful at spreading democracy with butter than with guns.
I agree. But like years ago, this was in the early '90s. I was kayaking. I was by the Gali River. And there were a bunch of people from Poland that had just come over here.
Yeah.
And I was kind of talking to them, and they said, these people were not people you consider, you know, conservatives or what's known if it comes to service. And they said what drove them crazy is during the Cold War, the Democratic senators, and the only person that really supported them, that supported Solidarity, that supported the dissident Soviet groups, were the Republicans. As nauseating as that sounds, that's true. The Democratic Party, and like I said, I have to go, Truman in 1948 purged all the radical elements out of the party.
Yeah.
And he saved it for 20 years. And I'm telling you, Bob, I have no interest in a Republican administration for the next 30 years. But that's what you're going to have if the Democrat Party does not get back to it.
Well, Steve, I hope you don't have to run away real quick. I want to make myself square on the Henry Wallace reference. I know what his history was, and I don't agree with him.
I mean, they're saying now, Bob, because of the recently classified documents, that it was that there's a lot of evidence that there was a huge high-ranking spy in the Roosevelt administration. A lot of people point to him. And most people think that Roosevelt knew that, and that's why he yanked him off the 1944 ticket.
That's very possible. But again, I'm not referring to him for his political leanings. I am referring to him for his very, very trenchant analysis of what fascism would look like when it came to the United States. And if you read that article, I think it was written for either Time or the New York Times. I can't remember which.
I think it was in The Nation, actually.
Okay, could be. It's incredibly trenchant. And he talks about some of the things that I mentioned. It's not going to come with spiffy black uniforms and red armbands. It's going to come here in Brooks Brothers suits and with corporate credentials. And I'm convinced that that is what we see today. Now,
well, like I said, I would put myself more of a. I'm sure you're familiar with Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah.
And I used to couldn't stand him, and unfortunately, it's bad to say I'm leaning toward him as I get if just you know events play out. The Democrats have got to get a clue. I like Bill Clinton. I thought Bill Clinton was an awful president in terms of his personality. But Bill Clinton knew how to win elections.
He knew how to win elections. So, and
I'm from Georgia, and Jimmy Carter was not very popular in Georgia. And there was a one-term governor. He knew how to win. The Democrats, he won once. But he knew how to carry this out. And the Democrats, if they keep pushing, I'm not going to call it Kerry. I think Kerry's more inept than anything else. Because, I mean, look at if you watch the debates, Kerry creamed Bush in the debate.
Oh, he just ran over him.
Can you imagine, have you ever seen a guy who wins three debates lose? And people say it wasn't the. I saw Kerry in Atlanta not so long ago, and I still think Kerry's formidable. It's the message, not the messenger. If they were to run a Sam Nunn or something like that, I'd vote for him.
Well, again, I mentioned Bartkop a couple of minutes ago. There is an essay that's been banging around since November. I found it first at Common Dreams, but he's got a link to it today. It's called The Da Vinci Code for Democrats.
Uh-huh.
I urge you to read that, Steve.
Because it's
talking about a lot of the things you're talking about. I agree with you. We need to talk, and we tried to. We need to talk about working people's issues. But again, we did that some in the last campaign. But I'll be doggone if we didn't get sidetracked because we had to talk about gay marriage.
Well, like I said, as a libertarian, I'm like, you know, there are a lot more things that frighten me more than two gay people getting married.
Yeah.
But anyhow, like I said, Bob, I live in Fayetteville. Sorry, I got to work. I miss you in Sedona's. I don't agree with very little you say, but I really think you bring a lot of impact to it. And I think you have a future in the national scene. I really mean that.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate that.
Anyhow, like I said, I work in Daniels, and how come about 9 o'clock your signal goes out?
Because the fine folks at the FCC say that they're scared to death that if we got to broadcast at 500 watts, we would step on the signal from the religious broadcasters that exist on 620 in Knoxville and Pittsburgh.
Wonderful. Well, hey, Bob, like I said, I love the show.
Well, I hope we'll hear from you again,
you
Steve.
Will. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I agree with about 90% of what Steve said. And there are nights and days when it is damn near impossible for me to remain a Democrat. But where in the world do you want me to go? You want me to be a Republican? I mean, I guess we could let's see. What's the old phrase from the Aztecs? I could be the worm in the middle of the Coyocapuli fruit. A whole bunch of us, and we could eat the Republican Party from the inside out. But that might succeed three generations from now, and by then it's not going to matter. By then Caligula will have led Incitatus the horse and made him into the Curia and made him a member of the Senate. We got a two-party system. I don't have time to build a third one. We don't have time to fix the Republicans because they're just about past fixing. We got one party we can fix, and that's the Democrats. You know, and again, my reference to Henry Wallace was for his identification of what American fascism is going to look like, and he predicted it down to a doggone T. Read that essay. Like I said, there's a link to it at bartkop.com this evening. The Da Vinci Code for Democrats. It should be a primer for anybody who considers themselves a real, live, honest-to-God Democrat. It's impossible to fix the Republican Party. It is going to be a hell of a job to fix the Democratic Party. But I think there's a false dichotomy when you're talking about the difference between Al Fromm saying that it's got to be, him saying it's got the Democratic Party's got to be the party of FDR and not the party of Michael Moore. I don't see that distinction between Michael Moore and FDR. I mean, there you know, if you went to see Fahrenheit 9/11, there was Michael Moore in a working family's home talking about the fact that their pride and joy died for a lie. And I don't think it's ultra leftism to point out the fact that this damned war is a lie. And I'm not picking on Steve. He mentioned being in the whitewater industry. There was a story on our local news maybe a week or so ago that said that the West Virginia officials are getting nervous about the fact that the adventure tourism industry seems to be petering out. You want to know why?
It's not that everybody who ever wanted to run a wild river has run a wild river and now they're bored. Hey, I'm such a big old coward, I won't go down the river. I'm scared. I don't do roller coasters either, okay? I mean, I want to go fast and feel like I'm about to die. But Turnpike and 19 are right out there. And at least I'm in control. So that's psychology. That's me. That's the whole control fetish thing. But I said it months ago. Why are you going to leave your home in wherever you are, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, why are you going to leave there and come to the wild, wonderful scenic vistas of West Virginia in order to shoot a whitewater river, and you get here and you find out your vista's been taken over by the shiny new Walmart on top of the battlefield in Fayetteville? You can see that same Walmart at home. And we got hand-wringers in Charleston saying, I wonder why people are in there. And the answer's right there in front of their faces. West Virginia is wild and wonderful, and mountaineers are, it's not mountaineers are always free. Look at your Latin, it's mountain people are always free. And we believe that. But you know what? Down here at Marsh Fork Elementary, three teachers have developed cancer in a very short period of time, and that is beyond a statistical anomaly. Children go home sick from what they are forced to attend school next to. Woo, take that grammar out and have it beaten and buried at midnight. Sorry. Do you understand? Do you understand? But I agree with Steve. Democrats have to talk Democrat issues. Go read the Da Vinci Code for Democrats during the break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
America stands for liberty, for the pursuit of happiness, and for the unalienable right of life.
Hi, I'm Ted Danson. Picture a place where everyone knows your name. We're at Shriners Hospitals for Children. All kids are treated like family. Shriners are recognized as one of the world's best hospital systems for orthopedic and burn medicine, as well as their leading-edge research and teaching programs. And their care is provided totally free of charge. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
I didn't know aging had caused my body to process medications differently. I learned the hard way that you don't have to. Call 1-800-662-HELP for the free brochure, As You Age, Guides Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Out of over 50 years of broadcasting history, you can depend on this. It's Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Presenting another great moment in FirstGov.gov history. This is Marilyn Gorman, applies for Social Security benefits online before breakfast.
And got them. Pancakes, anyone?
Visit FirstGov.gov today. It's government made easy.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Earlier today, reached the low to mid-70s. We'll head for 55 overnight. Remain very quiet with a few clouds by early tomorrow. Thursday afternoon, clouds and scattered thunderstorms, pretty much the fare of the afternoon. A few may be severe. We'll watch for large hail producers as we get up to 73 before all that commences. Overnight low, 57 into Friday, becomes 65 with an 80% chance of rain Friday afternoon.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. Shining on liberal lights in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Thank you.
back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob. Gene, I think we're going to have to elevate Gene to editor status. He sent me three great stories here. Left Coast editor. Great Northwest editor. Thanks, Gene. I appreciate it. Let me go back for a minute to the Molly Ivins column. You know, putting the lie to this whole bug-sprayed-up load of garbage about the Newsweek story. Share with you the last two paragraphs. Oh, by the way, March 17, 2004, the Independent of London interviewed the first British citizen released from Guantanamo Bay, Jamal al-Harith. A computer programmer from Manchester said 70% of the inmates had gone on a hunger strike after a guard kicked a copy of the Quran. The strike was ended by force feeding. Anybody want to guess the force feeding involved pork? December 30th, 2004, released Moroccan Guantanamo detainee tells Islamist paper of his ordeal. American soldiers used to tear up copies of the Quran and throw them in the toilet. I told you about the January 9th, 2005 column by Andrew Sullivan in the Sunday Times of London. Molly Ivins' last two paragraphs of this particular column, which is called Don't Blame Newsweek, she asks, so where does all this leave us? With a story that is not only true, but previously reported numerous times. So let's drop the Lynch Newsweek bull. 17 people have died in these riots. They didn't die because of anything Newsweek did. The riots were caused by what our government has done. Get your minds around it. Our country is guilty of torture. To quote myself once more, she writes, what are you going to do about this? It's your country, your money, your government. You own this country. You run it. You are the board of directors. They are doing this in your name. The people we elected to public office do what you want them to. Perhaps, you should get in touch with them. But you see, on the other side of the debate, well, there goes Bob again. He's all blame Mark Farst. When your country does evil, are you not complicit in that evil if you remain silent? How many times have we referenced this quote on this program? All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men, good people, to do nothing. We are citizens of a torture nation. Do you understand how sick that makes me in the very pit of my stomach? We are the sovereigns, the individual sovereigns, of a torture nation. Just let that swim around in your noggin for a little bit. A torture nation. When you were sitting in ninth grade civics, or whenever you had it, if you had it, if you were lucky enough, were you there for the unit where the teacher told you, and sometimes in our republic, under our form of government, it is necessary for a free people to engage in torture. Were you there for that? Were you there for that lecture? I was apparently out climbing a rock or something that day because I missed that lecture where it's okay for America to torture people. Great heavenly days. And again, I remind you, out of all of this Newsweek tempest in a microscopic teapot that has been generated and ginned up by the Spinmeisters at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, in all of this, the only thing they have addressed is a claim that the Quran issue, as reported by Newsweek, was not true. I remind you that General Richard Myers said the Quran had nothing to do with it, that this was a part of the political process, the rioting in Afghanistan. I sometimes worry about repeating myself on this program, but repetition is sometimes beneficial. Sometimes repetition is the soul of mastery. David Gilmour didn't just sit down and bang, there was a run like hell on the wall. Repetition, mastery, practice. So it is worth repeating that General Richard Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We're human beings. We come in peace. I'm William Shatner. Chairman Richard Myers of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said that the general serving under him who is in charge of Afghanistan said the Quran desecration issue had not diddly to do with the riots that broke out in Afghanistan, that it had much more to do with the political tensions of the nation and what he called reconciliation. In other words, Afghanistan is turning into what Afghanistan always is and has been for, lo, these many millennia. Richard Myers said that. I didn't say that. General Myers said that. And the White House is only having its little kittens with crocheted tails hissy over what Newsweek printed. Not what the Philadelphia Inquirer printed. Not what the Sunday Times of London printed on January 9th, 2005. Not what the Financial Times of London printed on December 30th, 2004. Not what the Independent of London printed on March 17th, 2004. January 2005, Philadelphia Inquirer. None of that. None of those first-hand accounts of this desecration, if you will, were addressed in this hissy. This demand that Newsweek needs to write happy stories. They need to write the happy news. That we're certainly not telling Newsweek what kind of news to publish. But it would certainly be better for the United States if they would publish the happy news about the happy things that are going on in Afghanistan and about the happy things that are going on in Iraq. Not a word about any of these other outlets. Not a word about the Red Cross report, all of which contain the same essential information. Do you see? And not a blessed thing about detainees, prisoners of war. Quit letting them frame the debate. Prisoners of war who are chained hand and foot to the floor, naked in freezing cold or blazing hot rooms, left to wallow in their own urine and feces. No denial from the White House on that. I recall a little lesson from contracts in law school somewhere along the way where we were taught about a rule that said silence is acceptance. And you got to figure, given the fact that you can't swing a ball bat in the White House without hitting a lawyer, that they know that too. And they know that their silence is their acceptance because they know they are the authors of a torture nation. They are the authors of a nation that is mentioned now, thanks to George W. Bush, in the same breath with the Third Reich. You don't like the fact that I bring up Hitler. I don't much care. I can do this without bringing up Hitler. I can make comparisons with 17th and 16th century England, if you would like. But it remains, we have become a torture nation. And it has been tacitly admitted by the White House. Have you heard the White House deny the torture at Abu Ghraib? No, they admit that it happened. But it was just some bad apples. But oddly enough, we had bad apples in Guantanamo, too, because FBI investigators complained to their superiors about the desecration of this holy book and about the treatment of prisoners. Have you heard the White House deny the upcoming story? Account, not story, the upcoming account of the Muslim men at Guantanamo tortured by being smeared with what they perceived, and remember, perception is reality, with what they perceived to be menstrual blood? Nope, you've not heard that denied either. They know what is going on, and they approve of it. Another quote from Molly Ivins' column. In the name of Jesus Christ Almighty, why are people repressing our government? In the name of Jesus Christ Almighty, why are people representing our government, paid by us, writing filth on the Qurans of helpless prisoners? Is this American? Is this Christian? What are our moral values? Where are the clergymen on this? Speak up. Speak out.
and that was in response last December to the International Red Cross's memo on torture at Guantanamo. This from our friend Jean. A Muslim woman who ordered a Quran through Amazon.com only to find profanity and religious slurs written on its cover page, said Wednesday she wants an apology and a full investigation by the online retailer. Azza Basruddin, who is 30, said she received the Quran by mail on May 5th after ordering through a used books division of Amazon.com that allows customers to order directly from third-party sellers approved by the company. When she opened the Quran, Basruddin said she found profanity and the phrase "death to all Muslims" written on the inside page in thick black marker. This lady is a graduate student in women's studies at UCLA, and she said she was overwhelmed by fear similar to what she felt after the September 11th terrorist attacks when her sister and mother were the target of anti-Muslim slurs. "I dropped the book because I didn't know what to do," she said at a news conference at the Islamic Center of Southern California. "I was paralyzed after 9/11. I couldn't leave my house for a couple of weeks, and I realized that that fear was coming back." Good for you, Azza Basruddin. Welcome to America. That is the fear in which you are supposed to live day in and day out, because in right-wing religion industry, fake Christian America, you are less than the dust beneath a Christian's feet. I do not say that as my own opinion. I say that as an observation of the culture. You might be an American, ma'am, but you're not as American as a right-wing religion industry American is. A spokesman for Amazon.com said the Quran was purchased directly from Bellwether Books, a small book resale company in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, through the marketplace section of Amazon's website. "Wasn't our inventory. Nowhere in our order fulfillment process. It was a used book purchased through a third party." Meanwhile, Richard Roberts, owner of Bellwether, said he doubts the book was defaced by his employees. He said before the incident, his six employees gave each book a cursory check before shipping and didn't look inside the pages. "I feel awfully bad about it. It's really a shame," Roberts said in a phone interview Wednesday. Can you imagine if someone ordered a Bible and got something like this? You would hear about it. There would be a full commentary issued on, here he is, that freak Tony Perkins. There would be a full broadcast on Washington Watch Weekly. "Christian receives defamed Bible. We need legislation. Godless Democrats likely to blame." And Donald Wildman would be in the streets, and Randall Terry would create a new organization called Operation Bible Rescue. And yeah, there would be rioting. His right-wing religion industry zombies would be screaming in the streets for the very head. And I don't know, who knows, we might mount a $20 million investigation to find the black magic marker. And Glenn Beck and the Savage Wiener and Rush Limbaugh would be out there declaring, "Only, my friends, only Democrats own black Sharpies. It's a well-known fact. Do you remember when that Negro football player, Terrell Owens, showed his ownership of a black Sharpie when he signed a football in the end zone? Of course you remember that. Therefore, that proves that only Democrats own black Sharpie magic markers." Because, you see, that's how they work. I was driving in today. I was running a little bit ahead of time because I wanted to run by the hospital. And so I usually try to only tune in once Dr. Bill starts, but I did catch the tail end of that filthy junkies program where he declared, and listen to this, really, he said it. "The media took down Richard Nixon. Therefore, all Republicans are Richard Nixon." Now, if you go to an AA meeting and you talk to a recovering alcoholic, he will tell you that he is exactly that, a recovering alcoholic. He will tell you that he will never be fully recovered. He will tell you that only through taking life one day at a time can he hope to remain sober. And yet most of the country thinks that Rush Limbaugh is cured. I'm here to tell you, he roasted his mind
with OxyContin. Because only someone who roasted their mind on drugs could say something like, the media took down Richard Nixon, and therefore every Republican is Richard Nixon. I had to slow down. I was driving at the time. I had, honest to God, I had to slow down. You know why? Just let that rattle around in, like a marble in a cider jug for a minute. The media took down Richard Nixon. Bless my pea-picking heart. The media took down Richard Nixon. Now, does that fool actually believe that? I submit to you that he does. Submitted for your approval. Yeah, he does. He believes that. Because the last I checked from everything that I was taught, you know, that liberal college he went to, was that Richard Nixon had to resign in shame and disgrace because he had violated the law of the United States of America and had violated his oath as President of the United States, and as a consequence, or what he did to do that, was that he committed a felony or 20. You know, covering up, obstructing justice, lying. But no, if you're a ditto head and a Kool-Aid swigger, you heard that narcotic addled moron today declare that the liberal media got Richard Nixon. Wow. I mean, that takes some brass. Now, one might very well argue that had it not been for a responsible media, Richard Nixon would have served out his entire term. You could make that argument. But ultimately, it was not because of Woodward and Bernstein or anyone else. It was not because of that that Howard Baker went to Richard Nixon. Howard Baker, a member of Nixon's own party. Howard Baker went to Nixon and said, yeah, look, you got to go or we're going to fry your butt. Howard Baker went to Richard Nixon because of people like John Dean and John Ehrlichman and John Mitchell and G. Gordon Liddy and Chuck Colson and Secord. And it goes on, the whole filthy list of people who attempted to subvert the constitutional form of government of this republic. Not because of a liberal media. And yet, if you were listening to the top of the hour news from ABC earlier, and I apologize to those listening on the internet, you heard someone in the discussion of the nuclear option in the Senate say, we've got Judge, and he talked just like this. I'm not being mean. Guy was a total knuckle-walking Republican idiot. We've got judges trying to make law and force their will on us, and we need for the Republicans to take control of it. There's old Ben Franklin again. Those people who would sacrifice some security or some freedom for more security deserve neither. I'm paraphrasing. Now, you saw kind of a difference between Jim and me in our conversation earlier. Jim has considerably more optimism on this than I do. As long as we have liberal media, you know, if there was a liberal media, why would they play a soundbite of that corn pone idiot saying that judges is making the law? Would a liberal media do that? No, there would be two or three soundbites of people saying that, you know, Janice Rogers Brown is an unmitigated freak who doesn't deserve to judge a bake off, let alone the lives of human beings. That's what you'd get if there was a liberal media. So I don't know. Again, I'm scared to death of my own party. I'm scared to death of anybody who will reach the olive branch out and pull back the bloody stump time after time after time. And maybe we're not being nice enough yet. Okay, we offered to give them 3 judges. Why don't we offer them 4? Bloody stump. Okay, we offered to give them 4 judges. Why don't we offer to give them 5? Bloody stump. We offered to give them 5 judges. Why don't we offer to give them 6? Bloody stump. We're up to 9 now. Including Janice Rogers Brown and that freak Priscilla Owens. Freaks, 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 freaks. And my party is still trying to figure out whether or not they still seem to be under the impression that it'll all work out if they'll just be a little bit nicer and give up a little bit more.
I mean, we haven't just given up the Sudetenland. We've given up Czechoslovakia, and then, you know, they're not even going to have to roll across Poland. See, he's bringing up Hitler again. Oh, hell, let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. After months of investigation, authorities in Nicholas County have made a series of drug arrests. 14 people were arrested yesterday on charges of possession and delivery of a controlled substance. The arrests were made in Somersville, Richwood, Craigsville, Fenwick, Swiss, Enon, and also Birch River. The names of those arrested are Amy Foster, Gaylord Morris, James Johnson, Kimberly Kaufman, Ronald James Ward, Nicole Ray Peck, Danny Joe Proctor, Daniel E. Bennett, Heather Suzanne Proctor, Craig Allen Persinger, Charles P. Wright, Cecil Lee Dillard, Howard Delp, and also Michael Proctor. All were arraigned before a magistrate. A routine traffic stop outside Beckley has led to the arrest of a Russian immigrant for smuggling cigarettes. Sergei Charnovsky was stopped for speeding on Route 19 near Maple Fork Road late yesterday afternoon. A search of his minivan turned up 37 full cases of cigarettes and more packed away in bags. They also found $24,500 in cash and a receipt for almost $13,000 worth of cigarettes from an outlet in Burlington, North Carolina. Police say a pit bull attacked and killed a young girl visiting a family friend at Huntington late last night. Huntington Police Sergeant Dan Underwood says firefighters responding to the attack had to use a carbon dioxide spray canister to force the dog away from the two-year-old or three-year-old. The girl, whose name was not immediately known, was taken to Cabell Huntington Hospital, where she was pronounced dead at around 9:30 last night. Underwood says the girl, her mother, and at least two other people were sitting on the house's porch, and the homeowner apparently told them all to stay out of the house where the dog was. Beware of dog signs were posted at the house, and nobody was charged as of late last night. The pit bull was taken away by animal control officers, and a court hearing is scheduled for today, at which the officers were asked permission to destroy the animal. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, temperatures near 70. Tonight clear, then becoming partly cloudy, then a chance of showers late tonight, low near 50. Tomorrow morning showers, then showers and thunderstorms by afternoon on Thursday. Temperatures in the mid-70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Let's Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, delicious, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring sales event. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rollmakers Drive in Beckley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection, no hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. On select models with a group credit. Interest cruise made purchase successful. We will buy for over 303 for less than 61.6% of your highest offer in 5/31/05.
Get ready. Get well. You can make a difference for those who suffer from arthritis. Join Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's Second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, on the McManus Memorial Rail Trail, starting at Riverton Park. Help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. It's not too late to form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center, 252-5305, and help us make a difference in the fight against arthritis, this Thursday at New River Park.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're talking mower maintenance with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, how do I get my mower ready for spring?
Read your owner's manual.
It'll give you a schedule of routine maintenance, like when to sharpen your blade. A dull blade will shred the grass, creating entryways for disease. Your mower also needs regular oil changes. John Deere recommends changing the oil every 25 hours of mowing. For some, that's once a year, so change every spring.
What if my mower won't start?
The spark plug could be dirty or damaged. Check your manual for instructions on inspecting and changing it. Or just put in a new spark plug every spring for sure starting. Also, keep fans and intake screens clear and make sure that all safety shields and switches are working. And if you skip your winter maintenance, have your local dealer look at your machine and give it a tune-up.
Thanks, Bill. Tune in next time to Green and Growing.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, is, you know, we got a little bit of time left if you want to get your thoughts in. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620, WWNR, 9967. And I have not mentioned this this evening, but it deserves mentioning. Dr. Bill did extended coverage of it this afternoon, Celebrity Waiter and Waitress Night. I'm really looking forward to this. But just to let you know, as far as the Southern Communications family is concerned, Candyman and JQ from Groovy 94 are going to be at Applebee's out Harper Road. At Pasquale's, Kathy St. John and Tasha Ginsburg from 103 CIR will be there. And Cowboy Will and Valerie Fox from Power Country 105.9, number one station in the area, I might add. As well as our own Burt Hill will all be at Foster's. And little old me at Sedona Grill. 6 to 9 is the time. And, of course, everything, all tips and donations benefit the United Way of Southern West Virginia, where 99 cents out of every dollar of your donation stays in Southern West Virginia. That's a pretty good bargain. And, of course, it also benefits the Women's Resource Center as deserving a philanthropy or a service, a community service, as exists in this area. What, over 2,000 women and children served by the Women's Resource Center last year alone? And one of the ladies noted, and I thought it was telling, if over 2,000 are getting services, how many other women and children out there are going without it? So come on out. And for fans of this show and friends of this show, FOBs, I hope to see you at the Sedona Grill, right there, just outside of Fayetteville. You might want to call for reservations. I believe the phone number is 574-3411. It's going to be a blast, I promise you. And I'm not the only one that's going to be there. I'm just the only one from Southern Communications. There's going to be a local lawyer there in Fayetteville, Ralph Young. Good guy. He'll be there. And a couple other people, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who at the time. But do come on out if you get the opportunity. You will get a meal to remember. That I assure you. Me, I'm pushing the crab cakes. I love crab cakes. And these, as I've said, are as good as you're going to find anywhere, including the Maryland shore. Really. But there will be other things. They do a beautiful steak. Lovely pastas. And desserts. Oy, the desserts. They've got some desserts. I just want to fill a bathtub with it and just go for a good wallow. You know, it's just that, yum. Anyway, back to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Sound like you are, too.
I'm having a blast. I always do.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to have it on them guys. Deserve it, ain't it? But have you heard anything from Wayne?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I've been talking to him from time to time.
I haven't heard anything from him since that thing over on the nurses.
Yeah.
But I called on a couple, three things that's just going to touch on. You know, you've mentioned that our government tried to, or they were indicating they didn't know what was going on in the prison.
Yeah.
You know, that makes it worse than ever if they don't know what's going on.
It's kind of negligent. It's sort of asleep at the switch, isn't it?
Well, that seems to be the trend in the White House, And, you know, the other part of it, they don't give a crap.
No.
I mean, if they did, they'd get her boys out of there.
Well, you know, our soldiers are toys to be played with and moved around on maps. They're not human beings. They're not flesh and blood. And the grieving mothers and fathers are not real to them. And God knows the Iraqis and the Afghanis, they're less than human to the Bush administration.
I laughed at old Bill Maher. He said, well, the Bush sister said they couldn't get a job. Said, why don't you join the service? Basically, I'm paraphrasing it. But he said, why didn't they go ahead and join the service?
Not a bad idea in my book.
Yeah, me too. But
I was going to say, then again, Bushes in the military are not something that families
know
for.
That's not the trend, is it?
No.
But I want to comment on the veterans.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got one guy that keeps running his mouth about how good the veterans are being treated by George Bush.
Yeah.
Well, the other day I went in, I might have mentioned it before, to get glasses, which they were free before. This time I paid $67 on them. And by about this count of my prescriptions, I got 9.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know what I'm paying now. I know it was 2, and it moved to 7, and it's possibly 15.
Yes, I think it's supposed to go up to 15 under Bush's plan.
Sometime maybe June or July. But you multiply that a month, 8 times 15, and these guys that are on a very fixed low income with no pension, they are going to have to make some choices, some real tough choices.
Yeah.
And Bush has created this. And let me tell you, now this is my own, the way I see the financial end of it. They have they called it giving these new veterans, and I don't begrudge them one thing they get, them or their wives, and the prosthetics, the eyes, the burials, the body bags, all of it. Transportation. I don't begrudge them a bit of what they get. But do you know where that's coming from, part of it?
Where?
We are paying it. The old veterans, we haven't sacrificed enough already. Now they're turning around and charging us, and they're offsetting what these other veterans are getting with what the extra we have to pay.
I understand. And to me, that's... Hell, Ed, it's criminal.
Yeah. You know, and they keep saying, "Well, if they're making $22,500 a year, that's enough to pay." You know, that's still below the poverty level. And the other part of it is this wasn't predicated on what we made. Whether you're a United States senator making $165,000 a year or whatever it is, that was set aside for the sacrifice that we made back then. Of making $79 and $89 a month.
Well, and offering to give your very life.
That's right. We was ready to lay it down, and I don't mean that with anxious to lay it down, but I mean we were there if the sacrifice needed.
Right.
To be, but it just burns me up to hear some blabbermouth get on the radio talk about how George Bush has helped our veterans.
Well, especially if said blabbermouth has never worn the uniform, never sought to wear the uniform, never hopes to wear the uniform, and doesn't, you know.
Well, it makes it even worse if he has, because he should have some compassion and know, and apparently he's had a job where he's had a good pension, probably a good union job, because he's not for union either. But of course, that's why those parasites are. They'll wait till a place gets organized, and the people fight and get everything up to where it's decent, and then the parasites move in.
Oh, yeah.
And that I tried my best to discourage him when he came on the job. But I want to go, you know, and it's just disgusting. I hear some of these veterans, but the veterans I do hear now, they just shake their head in disbelief that they voted the way they did, a lot of them.
Well, you know, the VFW did come out and did say that this budget that Bush has proposed for the VA is shameful. It's just a fact. They did. It was, I believe, January or February, maybe. But you're right. I mean, there are people that went out and voted for it. I don't know if they've reached full repentance yet or not, Ed. I don't know if they ever will. But there is a certain segment of people that you can do anything you want to them as long as you can appeal to their base hatreds and bigotries and prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can,
and that put them in a position of thinking they're better than the other guy, or that they're going to get ahead when the other guy don't, or if they are a little bit ahead, they don't want the other guy to catch up. They worry too much about what the other guy's got or going to get versus what they got.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point, Ed. They climb the ladder. It's just like Janice Rogers Brown. That ladder was put up there for her to climb by people who were...
That sacrificed her hind end.
Yeah, who were beaten at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, who had fire hoses and dogs turned on them by Bull Connor in Birmingham, who literally had their lives taken from them in Mississippi. That ladder was put there for Janice Rogers Brown by those people, and now she dishonors them with every breath she takes.
I don't see how in the world, and when they say memory is not revived unless you need it, you know, they better take a look at and revive their memory, because of all people, the black race should remember what they went through and what the government and other bigots will do to them, and they would put them back there.
But again, remember,
me and you with them.
Well, Ed, the African-American community understands what Janice Rogers Brown is about, and they have denounced her. But again, what we're dealing with here is an administration, a government that is fundamentally bigoted and doesn't give a tinker's damn what the American community thinks of Janice Rogers Brown. They don't give, and they have no reverence for the sacrifices that were made, because there is an agenda to be achieved. There are goals to be reached, some of which are including, of course, the destruction of Social Security. When that woman said that older Americans drawing Social Security are cannibalizing their grandchildren, she forfeited all right to any respect by any older American, as far as I'm concerned. But most older Americans don't even know she said it.
Well, there's two factors in there. One is, we put the money in, so our grandchildren ain't paid that yet. Now, when the grandkids go to work, they'll be paying their own. And they may support some of the very older ones. But the system is not set up like she's projecting it to be. And, you know, it's just another stinking Republican lie. Well, it's like I heard today somebody talk about the whole Republican Party was just a lie. And it is. I mean, it's it's, what's his name, Galloway or whatever it was?
Yeah, George Galloway.
You know, he, in my opinion, I don't know how you feel about that, my heart is with him.
Well, you know, I was thinking when I listened to him, Ed, I was just so proud of him. And I was thinking back a couple of months ago to when all these Republicans were talking about trying to amend the Constitution to let Arnold Schwarzenegger run for president. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just sickening at the time. But after listening to George Galloway yesterday, I thought, by Jove, let's do amend the Constitution, and we will run, and they can run Arnold, and we'll run George Galloway. And I got a feeling after George Galloway's done with the likes of Arnold Schwarzenegger that his Austrian hide will be running away.
Yeah. Well, of course, you got these politicians with their head in their hip pocket that thinks that he did a terrible thing, you know. That
oh.
He, but to me, I'd put a flag in his ear if I could. But I wanted to comment on one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I heard you speak on the Democrats and where we had to go. Bob, we still have good, strong Democrats in our party. You know, that guy's that thinks somewhere close to where me and you do, and Wayne and a few of them like that. We still have good Democrats, but the thing of it is, once, if we are able to hang on to 1 in 5 that we put in office down there that won't go down there and sell out like Shirley Love and Bob Kiss and most of them in Raleigh County, then we're very lucky. And they don't reflect what the true Democrats in the party believe. And that's what, they suck. That's just as plain as I can put it. They're a bunch of sucks, and they compromise everything away or are sold out before they get there. And that's where the Republicans don't. Look at old Frisk or whatever his name. They are not willing to compromise one time. They won't.
Right. And again, you're absolutely right, Ed, because we've said, okay, we'll give you 3. They said, no, you give us 10. We'll give you 4. No, give us 10. We'll give you 5. No, give us 10. We've done all the compromising here.
You know what it reminds you of? A company, a business company. That until you strike them, and I mean that with any means of the word strike, then they don't understand that you're dead serious about what you're after.
Right. And if your side's doing all the compromising, Ed, I hate to break anybody's heart, but you're losing.
Yeah. Well, if you give them a slice, they'll want the whole loaf. And you know, we negotiated with one company. Well, the lawyer said we had about 56 proposals. Some of them worthwhile, and some of them weren't. They said, well, go out there and take what you can off. And we finally told them that we wasn't a dairy. You wasn't milking us out of it. You negotiate on what you can negotiate on and what you can't, then we'll determine whether it's worthwhile for a strike or what.
Right.
And finally they caught on. They caught their little plane head to Chicago, and it was one of the longest, hardest strikes that I've ever seen. So,
but sometimes that's what's required, and I don't, Ed, honest to God, I don't know if our party understands that.
Yeah, well, there's something, and I guess there must be something besides money. They must be offering them a complete ball of wax to sell out like they have.
Well, no, you know, sometimes you remember how Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage?
Right.
Sometimes I think these Democrats are selling out for nothing more complicated than a promise from the Republicans to just be nice to them once in a while. The girl that's
that nice, that don't buy me no beans.
No, it doesn't. But the girl who sits alone at the prom by the wall and just wants somebody to come up and smile at her and ask her to dance. That's our party, Ed. That's
well,
our party.
It stinks, I can tell you, but it's sort of like you said, there's nowhere else to go.
No.
And if there was, I'd go. And it's really hard to sit down and say, well, we're hanging on, we're hoping for change, until we get rid of these stinking sucks that's after money. And like you said, a little pat on the head from people like old Joe Manchin, then we're not gonna have anything. And it's all taken, everything's on the working man's back. And
but you know what, Ed, we've got some fault in this too. We have got to find candidates and run them. Okay? We've got to find honest to God, working people, candidates, and run them. And let them talk that pure FDR, Harry Truman, Democrat, working American, Democrat politics. And we will win.
Well, let me tell you how one of our Democrats think, though, Bob. If you come in a pair of dungarees or bibbed overalls with a regular sweater, no matter, and as intelligent as you are, and then along comes some hick idiot with his pinstripe suit and his hair neat, they're going to pick that guy over you.
Heck yeah.
He knows. See, he knows, even though you're 50 times more intelligent and knows what goes on and stick with the people, they're going to pick that idiot. And that is our problem, that we judge a book by its cover instead of finding out what the content is in the book.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Question remains, though, Ed, can we fix it? I hope we can.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the call. It's always good to hear from you. I got one more caller I want to get to before the end of the show.
All right, well, I'll get it off of here.
All right, you take her easy, Ed. And Chris, hey Chris, you head on.
Hey, they're not playing up to the Republicans. Before they'll be nice to them. The Republicans have got all the big time lobbyists in their pocket. They just want it. They're just doing it for money.
They want some of the gravy.
Yeah. Well, I just tuned in about 5-10 minutes ago. I've been got some other stuff going on tonight. What is the lowdown on this story about a pit bull kills toddler in West Virginia?
Oh, God, I was hoping nobody'd bring that up. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Chris. It's just another damned little bit of heartbreak up here.
Yeah, I was reading this.
Little kid, they were at the house. There was a beware of dog, blah, blah, blah. Dog attacked child, dog killed child. Where were the parents? Don't know.
Yeah. Huntington firefighter Jason Price said the dog was wild eyed and the hair on the back of his neck was raised, and then it ran the door like a bull. Hollywood couldn't have made this dog more evil.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and I just, you know, a little tear welled up from my...
Yeah,
and I'm all pro-animal and everything, but dadgum, are these, I mean, these are killing machines, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these are like the sharks of the dog world.
Yeah. Well, since you and I have been really good friends, I always try and keep a lookout for stores in West Virginia.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's just,
and I saw that, and God.
It's just, it just, because, well, you know, anybody who's got kids, you just kind of immediately put yourself in those shoes and go,
well, we adopted a dog when I was little, in like the fourth grade. It was a Alaskan Husky, and it had been mistreated, and it used to pin me in the corner for an hour at a time, until another member of my family would pull it off of me. And it used to just scare the living crap out of me.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I'm lucky to be here.
Well, we had a little domestic discord over the weekend. My lovely wife. I love this aspect of her heart, but she was off yard sailing and I was at the house and came home, and by God, we've got two new dogs because somebody was about to take them to the shelter and have them put down, and they're lovely animals and I just love them. They're beautiful. And we got two new dogs.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, one of them's a little Jack Russell Terrier kind of guy. You can't, I mean, I'm just in love with him.
Yeah.
You know, just, hey, Bob, how you doing? Oh, pretty good, Jack. How about you? I'm okay. You got any kibble? Yeah. You know, they're just, he's so smart. And the other one's like border collie mix, beautiful black gray spot, one brown eye, one blue eye.
Oh, man. They're going to put him down.
Yeah. And my wife couldn't stand the thought of that. So we got two new dogs.
Well, that's a good heart.
Yeah, it is. It's a heart that's in the right place, and it's why I love her so much. But
way to go, Agnes.
Yeah, but we got two new dogs.
Agnes?
And when we're, you know, we're trying to train them and everything, and one of them gets the little border collie every now and then, woo! And I just looked there and said, oh, I'm going to love that at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, my best friend sitting here next to me, he's got three dogs, two labs and a beagle. And the baby lab, he called him up on the phone, and she's like, she wants to fight with the other ones, and then when they start fighting back, she's like, no.
Well, our oldest dog is a 12-year-old Labrador Retriever, and she's just a doll.
And, I've got a cat. I got to send you a picture of her.
And she saw these two youngsters come in and just gives me this look. Yeah, come on, Dad.
That's what his beagle did.
Yeah, you know, I was looking. I'm 12. I'm 12. Do the dog years multiplication, Dad. I was looking for a little break. I was looking for a little rest here. Just wanted to kind of hang out on the couch
Here comes two small dogs to cannibalize the future. No, that's the old dog cannibalizing the future.
Rogers Brown. Jeez. hey, nice tie-in. I didn't think you could do it, Chris.
Well, hey, man. You know, have faith, my son.
We got to roll, man.
Agnes, hang in there.
Agnes, Bob, hang in there. Thanks a million, brother. Later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Oh, great show, everybody. Thanks to Steve for the first-time call. Hope we'll hear from you again. Thanks to Jose and Jim and Yurakmeel and Ed and Chris there. You got talent when you can tie new puppy in with Janice Rogers Brown. That's pretty good. The show tonight, of course, produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reser, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. We like to think your safety is their business. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. He charges us nothing to archive the show, so if you use the service, run on by. He's in a fundraising mode. And a reminder, no show tomorrow night. I'll be sort of reincarnated as my former waiter self over at the Sedona Grill. Should be a blast. Hope you can come out and play 6 to 9 o'clock there in outside Fayetteville. Wow. Hey, Agnes.
I'm sorry.